You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Dan Roebuck and Paul Eales.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show as home favourite Darren Fickart claims his fifth European Tour title with victory at the Joburg Open.
Decided at the beginning of the year I'm going to play as much as I can and just get my game right and it worked out. So, it's good to win again. It's nice to see hard work paying off, it's very nice.
Second place was shared between two British players, both vying for their maiden triumph, Stuart Manley and Paul Waring.
There's not too much there that, needs to improve, and I feel like I can win with my current golf game. I just need to sort of get myself over the line now.
Pretty much took the flags out all day. I played great and could have had a lot of chances on the back nine, just didn't quite convert, but 67-5 in the last round was pretty pleasing.
We'll look back on all of the action from Johannesburg, plus there's a preview of not one but two events, the WGC Mexico Championship and the Shuani Open. Hello, I'm Dan Roebuck and I'm pleased to say that I'm joined by a man who's won on the Challenge Tour, the European Tour and the Senior Tour, Paul Eales. Paul, how are you?
I'm in great shape, Dan. Thanks for having me along.
No problem whatsoever. Great to have you here. We're talking about the Joburg Open. Home favourite Darren Fickart finished on 15 under to claim a one-shot victory at a weather-affected Joburg Open. We've got to talk about the weather first of all. There was no play on Saturday. Delayed start on Sunday as well. At one stage, it looked like the course was going to be unplayable and we might not get a finish. Ground staff have done brilliantly. As far as players are concerned, it must be difficult. You get into that mindset, you want to play, and then suddenly you're kicking your heels in the clubhouse for a day or so.
That's absolutely right. I mean, the heroes were definitely the ground staff and the greenkeeping organisation over there at Royal Johannesburg in Kensington. They did a great job. The summer storms, November time, they had a storm there where they actually opened the clubhouse doors and the rain came through the clubhouse out the onto the veranda, down onto the course. That was in November, so it had already had a lot of rain. Testing for everybody. The players are, most of them are pretty used to coming in and out. Certainly the South African players. Summer storms are nothing new to them.
Going into the final round, because it was shortened to 54 holes, there was an awful lot of players, Paul, that had the opportunity to strike a blow and try and get that win. There must have been as many as, 15, 20 that probably had designs on winning.
Yeah, I think at one stage there were about 40 players within three shots of the leading score. So like you say, it was all bunched up and there was an awful lot of players coming just before the back nine started. Aaron Rye, young English player, finished tied 18th on the Challenge Tour, just on the periphery of the European Tour. He did well. He had a run at it. Jacques Kruijswijk, he was going nicely, but unfortunately a double bogey did for him on 14. He couldn't make any birdies coming. So there's a lot of people round and about with nine holes to go had a great chance of winning.
Fickart recorded birdies at the first, the sixth, the eighth to get to 14 under, but his lead was cut to a single stroke when Waring and the Welshman Stuart Manley picked up shots at the 16th and 18th, and it was probably between those three, you would suggest, going into the final few holes.
Yes, it looked that way. I mean, poor old Jacques, he was going nicely, but unfortunately for him, just didn't have the experience to get it over the line, and he couldn't make any birdies. Although, if he'd eagled the last, he could have been in, but unfortunately stuck it in the right-hand bunker, didn't up and down it for his birdie. So, tough for him, but it did come down to those last three, and exciting it was. And Stuart Manley was in the clubhouse finishing birdie-birdie. He was waiting and watching the last group come up.
And the last group, of course, involved Fickart, who bogeyed 17, and he pretty much knew that he had to birdie the final hole to claim the title.
Yes, that's right. And of course, Paul Waring, his tee shot came first on number 18 and he blasted it way right into the trees. So that made getting home in the par 5 into impossible for him. Darren hit a lovely tee shot, hit it onto the front edge of the green, just short of it into. So it was pole position for him. Paul played a lovely approach in after coming out of the trees. So he had a chance, but Darren played, just his experience came through in the end and a delicious little chip and run from the front of the green that finished within 3 feet.
I was impressed with his chipping and his putting. I was listening to one or two interviews, looking at some of the copy that came through after the event, suggested he's changed his putting style ever so slightly. It's got to be difficult when you change something as fundamental as that. You've got to trust it, haven't you, going into events? But it seemed to pay dividends. And you mentioned that up and down on the last, not for the first time over the course of the week. His chipping was excellent as well.
Yes, some things, changes are as good as a rest sometimes. But, Darren, when I played with him way, way back, he was a fantastic putter. It was almost like you just knew he was going to hole it. And I think the putter that he retired got a new putter this week, change of grip. So he changed up a few things, which is a brave thing to do because he's still going into the unknown. You know, he's for years and years, he's done the same thing. And now it's completely new. So it obviously got him in the right spot, and he did, you know, his short game saw him through in the end.
You mentioned experience, and Jacques Kruijswijk, a youngster on the Sunshine Tour, seemed to be very pumped up early on in his round. He fell away over the course of the back nine. We know that Messrs Manley and Waring haven't won on the European Tour before, and Ficot's demeanour over the course of the last day, you just sense that his experience really was about to tell, and the others maybe just trying to push it a little bit too much, looking for that first win. And experience can be everything around a golf course.
Well, yeah, I mean, Darren, he's what is he now, 41 years of age, and you know, he's played over 300 events on the European Tour, plus all the Sunshine Tour events that he's played, so massively experienced. That was his fifth win. So the other guys coming around in there, they hadn't won. They'd not really been in a situation where, you know, it was comfortable for them. But you've still got to do it. And what a great little chip he played on 18.
Ficot wins, of course. But Stuart Manley and Paul Waring do get something other than just prize money out of it. They qualify for the 146th Open Championship at Royal Birkdale. And that's a massive fillip. That's a huge bonus for them, isn't it?
It is. I mean, certainly for Stuart Manley, it's going to be his first Open experience. Paul Waring, who suffered a lot from injuries over the last few years, his career has really been blighted for that. But he's a local boy, as in he lives across the water on the Wirral, so he may be able to stay in his own bed playing Birkdale. But he has played an Open before, finished tied 19th in 08, I think. So it's not going to be a new experience for Paul. And of course, Darren has played, I think it was about 8 Opens Darren's played, but he hasn't made a cut yet. But obviously, hugely exciting for those three guys.
So let's hear from Darren Ficot, who was asked if this win felt like a special victory for him.
It does, especially the form I've been having the last couple of months has been horrendous. But yeah, I decided at the beginning of the year I'm going to play as much as I can and just get my game right. And yeah, it worked out. So, geez, man, it's good to win again, eh? I just couldn't get the putter going, man. So it's just a bit frustrating because I wasn't progressing, you know. I was just staying in the same position, all the same score all the time. But yeah, it was a struggle. It was, but I'm playing solo. I'm hitting the ball really well, and I think the greens just took a few heel marks because of the wetness and stuff, and it just came close. But yeah, a little closer than what I wanted. You know, it's nice to see hard work paying off. You know, it's very nice.
Latterly, seemingly talking about his change of style, change of grip when it comes to putting. It is a leap of faith, isn't it? And golfers have got to take it on board when they do it. And as he's just suggested there, hard work paying off.
Yeah, obviously for Darren, who'd been such a great putter all the way through his career, you know, he's obviously had a barren spell 4 years since his win. So he just decided, I'm going to change this. On Wednesday, he put a new putter in the bag. He'd been working on a different putting grip that he'd had for the rest of his career, and it really was a leap of faith for him, and he stuck with it and it paid dividends.
He also mentioned the fact that he'd not been playing particularly well. He was out in the golf events. He missed the cut in Abu Dhabi. He didn't really pull up any trees in the other two events as well. But we saw with Brett Rumford as well that these players are so talented, it can just take something very small for them to click and suddenly they're challenging again.
Yeah, and I think you can look at Darren this week and he's holed some putts that have kept the momentum going for him. He probably didn't do that in the Middle East, and that's really what it is. It's such a fine balance. You hole a right putt at the right time, it keeps you going, your spirits are high, you move on and you build on from that, and suddenly you've got a win and you think, how did that happen?
Obviously, he's won 5 times now. Are you surprised that he's not won more? Are you surprised that it's 4 years since his last European Tour win? Because it wasn't so long ago he won in Qatar, he won in Brazil prior to that, and he thought, hang on, this could be another South African player that we'll see on the world stage for a good 10 or 15 years or so.
Yeah, it's difficult to win, isn't it, out on? There's so many good players each week trying to win, and, you know, 5 is a great number. If you ask most players out there, would you like to win 5 major events on the European Tour, they go, yeah, that'd be a great career. And now we're saying, could Darren have won more? Of course he could. You could say that to every player. But Darren, you know, 4 years, he's still been going. He's had a few visits back to Q School, so it's not been a continual rise forward in his career. He's had those dark days where he's had to go back to school, missed cards, gone back home, tried to work it out. He's also raised a family in that time. So great for him at the age of 41 still to be keep going out there and winning with these kids.
Well, it was his first European Tour victory since the 2013 Africa Open, a gap of 4 years and 9 days. In that time, he's played in 98 official European Tour events. He continues with his 100% winning record of claiming success in all five of his European Tour titles when leading or sharing the lead going into the final round. That's a telling stat. And he gains a European Tour exemption until the end of the 2018 season and moves inside the world top 200 players. Well, let's now hear from both runners-ups, starting with Englishman Paul Waring, who says he has mixed feelings about his week.
Gutted that, put it on the last lip doubt. You know, I've got to take a positive out of the week. I think that gets me into the Open, which is, you know, a big plus for my season. You know, it's a second place finish, lost by one. There's not too much there that, you know, needs to improve, and I feel like I can win with my current golf game. I just need to sort of get myself over the line now.
Obviously frustrated, he played the back nine in level par. You're not going to win too many tournaments if you play the back nine in level par, but he was up in the vanguard, and as you mentioned before, loose off the tee on the last hole, and that's obviously fresh in his mind as he comes off the course.
Yeah, it's not often that it's the great shots that win tournaments. It's the mistakes you don't make, and Paul leaked a couple of tee shots way to the right, and that cost him bogeys in that final round. But let's put it in context. You know, the injury-ravaged career that he's had, you know, he's still there. He played some marvellous iron shots and approach shots, and like he said there, very, very nearly hole that putt on the last that would have got him into a playoff with Darren Fickard.
Next, we can hear the thoughts of Wales' Stuart Manley, who was thrilled with his efforts in Johannesburg.
Very pleased. I played great all day, really. Got a bit unlucky on 11, kind of ripped the drive, and it kind of just went through the fairway. I didn't really have a shot and made a bit of a mess of it to make double bogey, but pretty much took the flags out all day. I played great and could have had a lot of chances on the back nine, just didn't quite convert, but you know, 67-5 on the last round was pretty pleasing. My game's been great for a long time now, but I just need a few more opportunities. Playing opportunities would be great, but yeah, things looking good.
It's amazing, isn't it, the contrast between the two players. They're finishing in the same position, but Stuart is very much taking the positives. Finishes birdie-birdie. His career has been fascinating to watch. He's been to the Q School an awful lot of times, Paul. It's great to see him close to the winner's enclosure. He's in the Open as well. Maybe he can plan a little bit better. And you could just sense there he was very much on an upward trajectory in terms of how he felt about his game.
Yeah, it's really tough for Stuart, knowing exactly where to play. A lot of the opportunities he's going to get on the European Tour are last-minute calls. So then he changes his plans, has to fly in. Not the best preparation, but now, with that Open position there, he can plan. He's got a little bit more time, but it has been a yo-yo career, up and down on the Challenge Tour. Although he did have a playoff with Jimenez, didn't he, in the Hong Kong Open a few years ago. So he's used to being there at the thick end on a Sunday afternoon.
So we've just heard from the two players who were tied second, Paul Waring and Stuart Manley. Let's get the full top 10.
Here we go, Dan. There were four guys tied in seventh place. Aaron Rye, Paul Pedersen, Keenan Davids, and George Kitsia. Tied fourth, Brandon Stone, James Morrison, and Jax Kreizvijk. And then second, as you've mentioned, Paul Waring and Stuart Manley, and our winner, Darren Fichart.
That was the top 10 from Joburg. And remember to go to European Tour Twitter and Facebook accounts to see the five best shots of the week from the Joburg Open, as well as other great video clips. Now, Fantasy Race to Dubai tips from last week. John Hawksworth was sat in your chair, Mr. Eels. Mm-hmm. He went for Jordan Smith, who was tied 60th in the end after a decent start. I went for Dean Burmester, who was tied 11th. Jordan Smith is getting a lot of plaudits at the moment. Didn't quite get the job done, obviously, last week, but he looks to be a young player to follow.
There's no question about that. He's round and about, and he's not frightened when he gets in there on a Sunday afternoon. So I think he'll have one or two looking at him most weeks, I would say, going through the season.
Fantasy Race 2 Dubai game. Carolyn Sykes, with her team Cass's Boys, has retaken the lead at the top of the overall standings from Gustav Bjørnstam. But it's congratulations to Craig Annett, whose shank draw side amassed the most points this week after he had both Darren Fickard as captain and tied second Stuart Manley also in his lineup. In our very own league, the Sean Ryder Cup, listener John Hopping scored the most points this week. But the man alongside me, Paul Eales, still leads the way. Paul, you've done remarkably well so far in this competition. Who did you have last week?
Yeah, I had Dean Burmester. He was my captain. I had Thomas Dietrich from Belgium, the young guy, and I like Jordan Smith. I think he's going to take a few. Richard Stirney, I was a little disappointed. I mean, for me, one of the best swingers of the golf club ever, but Richard's had a bit of injury. So it wasn't a bad week. Hayden Porteous, I went for, should have gone for Brandon Stone, but hey, there we go.
No, we can't crab your selection so far in the competition. You lead our mini league. If you want to join it, then head to the fantasy game at europeantour.com/myeuropeantour. And under the private league tab, if you enter the PIN, and hopefully you've got your pen and paper ready for this, capital F, lowercase c, 2, lowercase s, capital C, capital Y, 2, lowercase j, capital B, 1. We're going to close entry to our private league pretty soon, so get your teams in if you want to join us here on the Race to Dubai show. And keep an eye on europeantour.com this week for their Fantasy 3 to watch at the WGC Mexico Championship and the Shwani Open. Next up, we need the top 10 when it comes to the Race to Dubai standings. Just a little bit of movement here, Paul.
Yeah, top 10. Bernd Wiesberger in at 10. Brandon Stone makes a move. He's at 9. Henrik Stenson is at 8. Rafa Cabrera Bello, he's number 7. Sam Brazel, 6. Sergio Garcia is 5th. David Lipsky is 4th. Yanghong Wang, he's 3. Fabrizio Zanotti, number 2. And of course, leading the way is Englishman Tommy Fleetwood.
Now, in other news, it's been announced that the Open Championship is to return to Royal St George's Golf Club in 2020. 9 years after it last hosted the event, the historic Kent Links will host the 149th edition of the tournament, where Darren Clarke was crowned champion last time out in 2011. And it's also been confirmed that legendary Manchester United footballer Ryan Giggs is to partner Rory McIlroy at the BMW PGA Championship Celebrity Pro-Am at Wentworth on Wednesday, the 24th of May. Tickets for the Pro-Am are available from just £16.50. Head to the European Tour website for more details. And finally, Ricky Fowler has secured his 4th PGA Tour title win with a 4-shot victory at the Honda Classic in Florida. It's the American's first win since September 2015. Seems an age that he was last in the winner's enclosure, Paul, but he got the job done eventually. I mean, on the face of it, it looked fairly straightforward, but I think there was one or two nerves early on because he was a little wayward off the tee, but he managed to pull the round around and win relatively comfortably.
Yes, he did. He always had a nice little cushion. He did throw a double bogey in early doors when he found water off the tee, but you know, his experience, he hit enough good golf shots out there and wasn't too destructive. And nobody really came through the pack to put any heat on him. So he had that little bit of a cushion, but still you've got to get it done. And of course, the bear trap there, but it didn't trap him.
A word on England's Tyrrell Hatton, who started the day in second place, carded a 2-over 72 to finish in a large group, sharing 4th on 7-under. He's starting to make waves in the world game, on the world stage, isn't he, Tyrrell?
Just brilliant. Absolutely brilliant for Tyrrell there. I mean, it's an upward curve and it's still going upwards to finish right up there in a big event in America for the first time. You know, it just keeps moving forward for Tyrrell.
Hatton getting ever closer to the top 10, but he's not there yet. Which 10 players are the best in the world, Paul?
OK, 10th place is Sergio Garcia. Ricky Fowler is at 9. Justin Thomas is 8. Adam Scott, 7th. Jordan Spieth, number 6. Henrik Stenson is 5. Hideki Matsuyama is 4th. Rory McIlroy, 3. Jason Day, 2. And Dustin Johnson leads the way. He's our world-ranked number 1 player.
We've got two events to preview this week in a moment. We'll look ahead to the Shwani Open, but first of all, it's the WGC Mexico Championship, the first of 4 World Golf Championships events to be staged in 2017. Change of venue this year, Paul. We go to Club de Golf Chapultepec in Mexico City from Trump National Doral in Florida, where Adam Scott was the winner in 2016. Don't know too much about the course. This is going to be something of a leveller. It's a course, I think, that was opened a good long while ago, but it's been revamped, obviously, to stage this prestigious tournament.
Yeah, I don't know a lot about it. It was constructed back in 1928. They've had a lot of events there going up to the 60s, but then it's sort of quietened down a little bit. They've obviously been in there, had a look, revamped it, presumably tidied it up a little bit for the players. But like you say, it'd be a great level, because none of the players will be familiar with the layout at all.
Fantastic event, because we've got almost the top 50 in the world. Jason Day isn't playing because of illness, but Dustin Johnson, as you've just mentioned, number one in the world. He's been a winner this year. Jordan Spieth has been in the winner's enclosure. Hideki Matsuyama has probably been the best player in the world over the last 3 or 4 months or so, with I don't know how many wins and runner-up finishes. This is a stellar cast, isn't it?
Well, it really is, and the top players playing well as well. That's the other thing, isn't it? It's all right saying, well, these are the leading players, but they're actually on top form as well. So this is going to be a really exciting tournament.
What can we expect from Rory McIlroy, do you think, this week?
We know that he's been playing because it's well publicised that he's been playing with the President of the US. So he's fit, he's out there playing again. But whether he's going to be match sharp is another thing. It's all right saying, I'm hitting it nicely in practice. But when you've got the card and pencil in your hand, we all know it's a different story.
A bit more pressure on Dustin Johnson now. Is world number one, or do you think he's going to enjoy it and want to kick on from where he is and win more majors and so on?
Well, I don't know a lot about Dustin Johnson, but when I see him, it doesn't look like he understands what pressure is, does he? He's so cool and laid back, and of course, what happened to him at the US Open last year, you know, he came through that, so he'll be fine.
Justin Thomas, another player that's performed brilliantly, good friend of Jordan Spieth. They seem to be spurring each other on at the moment, don't they?
Yeah, they do. Played a lot of golf together, and Justin gives it a real old smash, doesn't he? Hits it miles down there. It's a big golf course in Mexico, over 7,300 yards, so he could be one to look for.
We mentioned Rory McIlroy of the European contingent, but there are plenty of our stars heading across the Atlantic. Who else is teeing up that we should keep an eye on?
Well, Sergio always. When it comes to a big week, big tournament, Sergio's never far away. Doesn't get over the finish line often enough for me, but he'll be up there. You know, he'll be worth looking at. Alex Noren's out there. Justin Rose, of course. Danny Willett, maybe trying to find a little bit more form, maybe have his eyes firmly fixed on his defence of the Masters, so look out for him. So there's enough European and certainly English guys to look for.
One man who is heading to Mexico is Brandon Stone, already a European Tour winner this season. The South African says he's looking forward to the next event.
It's a long travel, but it's going to be worth it. It's my first WGC event, and I'm over the moon to be going. I think it's going to be an incredible experience. Obviously, you got the two majors last year, the Open and the PGA, but to be part of that elite field next week is going to be something special.
Brandon Stone, don't really expect him to challenge, but he's certainly a player that's got a big future. And for those players that maybe we haven't talked about, this is a great opportunity for them to announce themselves on the world stage. We've seen in the past these WGC events, what a springboard it can be.
Absolutely. Brandon Stone had a lot of, we had a good college record in the States, so he knows some of the players. He knows Jordan Spieth, and he knows those guys out there that are playing. So, yes, it's his first event, but he'll be familiar with the company that he's keeping. And he is a very, very accomplished player. So don't be surprised if we see him round and about toward the weekend.
OK, we need a selection from you, Paul. We're going to get a pick each for the WGC Mexico Championship. Who do you like?
Yeah. Dustin Johnson, please.
OK, yeah, you can have the world number one. Yeah. That's fine. I'm going to weigh in with Jordan Spieth this week. Ooh. I'm taking no chances either. No. We're not going down the list here. We've got to go for the best players. But it's great that the best players in the world are winning tournaments at the moment. DJ is rightly world number one. He won a major last year. This year he's been sensational as well. And this is what golf fans want to see.
It is, and he's also winning golf tournaments by a long way, like Tiger did, remember? And Rory's got the capability of doing that, just destroying fields. So I don't see that happening this week, but you know, you've got to think that Dustin Johnson's going to be right up there.
We've mentioned a couple of the fancied runners there. You like DJ, I like Spieth. What about a player a little bit further down the list that maybe could surprise, not so much an outsider, but a player that you expect maybe to run a top 10, a top 15, someone you've got your eye on to perform well over the course of the year?
Well, here's one for you. I'd like to see Matt Fitzpatrick go over there. I think from an English point of view, he was in the boys' squad when I was working with England Golf. I've watched his progress. And Matt's not fazed by these big names. He's still at the point where he's really excited to be there. So why not have a run from Matt this week?
Yeah, it'd be great to see him do well. I quite like Jon Rahm, the Spaniard who's come through the American college systems, won on the PGA Tour. He says he's going to play Ryder Cup for Europe if he qualifies. It'd be great to see him in the winner's enclosure again, or at least play well.
Yeah, he won a couple of weeks ago in San Diego, so you know, no surprises if Jon Rahm wins.
OK, so for you this week, DJ, your main pick, and Matt Fitzpatrick one to watch. I've gone for Spieth and Rahm. On to the second event we're previewing this week, and that is the Shwani Open at the Pretoria Country Club in South Africa. Charles Schwartzel won last year. He's not defending. Obviously, he's in Mexico. But once again, good, strong South African contingent, and there are a smattering of talented European Tour professionals as well.
Yeah, there is, and as we saw last week in Johannesburg, there are some new names to the golfing viewers out there that could come through this week. But again, if you're looking at experience, you've got two major winners at the top of the field, Darren Clark and Trevor Immelman. Not sure they're in form that they could trouble the leaderboard this week. Hopefully they can do, turn it around. But I'm going to go for Dean Burmeester again. I went for him last week. I think, really, you've got to have a local flavour. They seem to do very well, the South Africans, on home territory. So it's a Parkland course. It's a narrow course, so maybe not a power course that we've seen in previous weeks. But I'm going to go for Dean this week.
Yeah, it's only short, just over 7,000 yards. You've played in South Africa, Paul. What are the differences that maybe those watching on television can look out for? Is it the greens? Is it the fairways? Is it just the elements? Is it the altitude?
Yeah, the number one is the altitude. You're high up there. The golf ball goes a lot further, maybe around about 10%. So what we always used to do was we used to take a meters book and use that as our yardages.
Ah, clever.
So that's how we did it. So there wasn't too much calculation going on. Because we're golf pros, you know, we're not that smart. So that's how we did. But getting used to how far the ball's going, you've got the Kikuyu grasses, so the ball can sit up, but they've had a lot of rain as well. So it's going to be soft. It's going to be target golf, really, this week, where, you know, the Parkland course, you'd expect it, if it was running a little bit, it might be a little more tricky. But I think it's going to play straightforward this week.
Yeah, we don't see too many courses, do we, this type of length anymore. Every single new course that comes on, and those that have been revamped, tend to be 7.3, 7.4, even bigger, 7,000. And I guess for some players who don't play on courses this short, it takes a little bit of a readjustment, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. But the other thing with it being a tighter Parkland course, maybe the drive will be taken out of the players' hands this week. So it may play a little bit longer because you're going to see them hitting irons off the tee for position. But length isn't a priority this week round Pretoria Country Club.
I'm going to go for James Morrison, who's had some good performances, good results in South Africa recently. He's been bubbling away nicely. Hopefully he's going to come good. We talked about South Africans, and we have done on this show, when obviously the tour hits the Rainbow Nation, that they tend to have some sort of advantage. But a lot of the European Tour players go down there and play every single winter, our winter, their summer. So it's not as if they haven't got any experience of it, is it?
No, they're getting more and more used to it. It's obviously that some of the guys are coming out of a break. They haven't played a lot of golf, whereas the South Africans are in mid-flow with their season. So, you know, like we said before, having a card and pencil in your hand is a different thing to hitting it nicely on the practice ground.
OK, so Dean Burmeester for you. I'm going to go for James Morrison. And that wraps it up for this week. Next time, we'll review both the WGC Mexico Championship and the Shwani Open. Plus, we'll look ahead to the Hero Indian Open. And until then, you can stay up to date with the latest news from the European Tour via Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, and Instagram. And don't forget, you can send a question to the show, tweet it to @EuropeanTour using the hashtag ETPodcast. But for now, from Paul Eales,
enjoy your golf,
and myself, Dan Roebuck, it is goodbye. We'll see you next time.